Hey everyone, Pastor Harv here. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope this message blesses you with hope and energizes your walk with Jesus Christ. Share this with someone today and spread the joy to those in your life. Stay tuned to the very end. Let's jump right into the Word.
I can tell you this today, we may not be perfect. We have character flaws just like anyone. We may communicate every day or every week. And we may not communicate a lot in person. But my heartbeat and my passion outside of Christ Jesus and my family is this church. And we love you. And we want you to know that at the end of the day, we love you. And if you need to talk to us, we want to do our best to be there for you and help you any way that we can to pray with you and to lift you up together. We love you. Kelly, I love you. Come and share your heart this morning.
Amen. I'm just going to have you remain standing while we read the word, and then I'll let you be seated. What Deborah shared today couldn't have been more perfect, because the last couple of years I've spoken on Mother's Day, and I think the first year I spoke about Deborah, the judge in Judges chapter 5. And then we spoke about Jael and some mighty women of God in the Bible. But I couldn't get away from this scripture in John. And it's John chapter 15 and verse 5. And it says this. Read it with me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This last part. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's all about Jesus today. It's all about him today. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together, Lord. It's been so precious, Lord. We thank you for women of faith. God, we thank you for grandmothers and mothers and aunts and sisters who have all helped us along our journey in the faith. And Lord, God, we thank you for your presence that we felt here today. It's been so wonderful. It's been so beautiful. God, we honor you, Lord. God, speak to us today from your word, because your word is life. And in you we have life, and we have it more abundantly, God. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. You can be seated this morning. What a privilege it is to serve here and with these beautiful people. And it's especially great that we've got some of our family here. And I know Harv already honored mom today, but I call Wanda Turner, I call her mom. My mother went on to be with the Lord in the year 2000. So I've been without a mom for quite a long time. And she's waiting on me in glory. I'm going to see her again one day. But Miss Wanda has been everything a mother should be and could be to me. She has championed me. She's encouraged me. She's made me laugh. And I want to honor her today. So, Mom, we love you. You know, she gave me the best piece of advice as a pastor's wife, as a minister's wife that I've been given. The first camp meeting that I attended, and I wasn't raised Pentecostal, so I was a little apprehensive. And the speaker was just this calm preacher named T.L. Lowry. Maybe some of you have heard of him. But I had heard so many stories, I was a little bit apprehensive. And I think she knew that. So she gave me some of the best advice I've been given. And she said, you come sit on the inside here by me. Don't make eye contact with him. And I've carried that with me to this day. But I did want to visit this today, just the thought of the vine and abiding in the vine. And later on, I'll share some scripture where I can almost call this the gap, standing in the gap. But you know, vineyards are a very important piece of agriculture, vineyards and vines and growing and gardens. All of these things are in the Word of God, just replete in the Word of God, because he uses these things. It's everyday examples, and this is what's so great about Jesus and his teachings, is he uses everyday examples to speak to us on a level that we can understand and that we can glean from. And it's so important here that we look at the vine, and this is something that everyone can understand. This is elementary, I realize that, but maybe you're like me and sometimes you just need to break things down. So the vine is Jesus. The branches in this chapter, or in this verse, are the disciples, or us. We're disciples of Christ, and the gardener is God the Father. And so for context, in this scripture, in John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. It's the Last Supper. It's Passover, the Passover meal. And he has clued them in over and over and over again that this is the end for him, that he is going to the cross, but that he will be resurrected. So this is the context that he is speaking to the disciples in when he says, "I am the vine." Now you have to understand, as someone who is Jewish, in Jewish culture back then, for Jesus to say, "I am the vine," that was very controversial, because the vine in Old Testament and throughout history in Judaism, the vine was Israel. And Jesus is saying, this is a very controversial thing that he's saying right here, because he's saying, it's no longer Israel that's your home. I am your home. I am the vine and you are the branches. You must remain in me. So we understand here, this was very, why would they have crucified him, guys, if this was not controversial? The things that he was saying were very, very important. So the importance of fruitfulness in the Christian life, Jesus is laying out here. It's his Last Supper with the disciples. Don't you know that the last words that someone says before they leave this earth are very important? Of course they are. We hang on those words. So this is results of not human achievement. What Jesus is saying is, you are in me. He is giving them position. Position is very important. We are in Christ. Position and condition don't always line up, right? Our condition sometimes gets us discouraged, but it's not our condition, it's our position in Christ. Our position is forever secure, thank the Lord, but our condition is a process. It's a process of sanctification. So until we go home to be with the Lord, until we get there to heaven, it's up to us to abide in that vine, to abide in Jesus. And that's what he wants us to do. The problem is the branches. And that's you and me. Now, most of us have no beef with Jesus. I don't anyway. How about you? I love Jesus. But Jesus, why are your people so crazy sometimes? Right? This bunch can be annoying and frustrating. I get it. But we are all in the vine and we're all branches. And trust me, you need community. I need community. And that scripture, you know, we've all quoted, well, iron sharpens iron. That hurts. When iron clicks together, that means they're fighting. That's swords. That means that it's hard sometimes and it causes frictions. Friction, but God wants us to be planted and rooted in the vine. So the next thing is to be planted. That's the next slide. There we go. Let's read this scripture. Colossians 2, 7 through 9. Have your roots planted deep in Christ. Grow in him. Get your strength from him. Let him make you strong in the faith. As you have been taught, your life should be full of thanks. Full of thanks to him. So what this scripture is saying is basically, apart from the vine, nothing matters. Apart from the vine, nothing matters. But in the vine, everything matters. Amen. Everything matters. Everything matters in the vine. You know, there is a thread woven into the human experience that we all want to matter to somebody. We want our life to matter. We want our family to matter. We want our gifts to matter. We even want our failures to matter. And this is tough sometimes because we live in such a gift-driven society. Everything is about gifts and talent and what you can do. And there's very little talked about character and faithfulness and steadfastness. But in a gift-driven church, we rely on gifts and not character. But let me say this very clearly to all of you here today. You matter. You matter to the vine. You matter to the branches. You matter to the Father. You matter to me. And you matter to us. And the only way to be fruitful is to be connected to the vine. So in the vine, everything matters. So this means staying connected to Jesus. When you think about planting, it's intentional, right? Planting a garden is very... Who's planted a garden this year? Raise your hand. I know you're out there because... Okay, I'm going to be expecting some tomatoes and some stuff. I see all y'all's hands. I'm waiting for my first tomato sandwich with mayonnaise on white bread. Somebody testify this morning. And some fried okra. I don't want to pick it. I've done that before. It's not fun. So I'm going to let y'all do that. But this is what happens when we cut ourselves away from the vine. We wither. We wither away. It's through that union with Jesus and others, sharing thoughts and emotions. You know, Philippians 4:13, this is the Message version. It says, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. The familiar version of that is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the next thing that happens when we're in the vine, we have to be planted, but then is the pruning. We're pruned. John 15, verse 2 says, every branch in me does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it produces more fruit. So the branches in the vine are the ones that get cut. In the vine, everyone gets cut at some point. It's not punishment, though. It's not punishment. You hear me? It's pruning. It's pruning. So in families, everyone's accountable to one another, or we should be. That's why, you know, what time are you going to be home? Even I'm almost years old. And I'm accountable. Harv will say, what time are you going to be home? And he does the same with me because we're accountable to each other. There are consequences to being in the vine. If you're not behaving correctly, sometimes you get pruned. Or we can get pruned just because it's to help us grow. Pruning is necessary for spiritual growth to bear more fruit. And doesn't this remind you of Judas and Peter? This scripture, it reminds me of Judas and Peter. One was cut away and one was pruned. One got cut very deeply, but then he was mightily used. This is Peter who stuck his foot in his mouth all the time, cutting off ears, just didn't get it. Many times Jesus would be teaching to a crowd, then he would talk to them, and Peter, you can read it in scripture, he would say, is he talking to me or them or us? What's going on here? That's Peter. But we are pruned for a purpose to bear fruit. And apart from Jesus, the vine, we cannot bear fruit. But trust me, you can and you should bear fruit. This is conditioned, though, by obedience. And obedience is hard sometimes. It is hard to do what we're supposed to do. So the pruning and the cutting sometimes is very painful. But I thought about this. How close does a gardener have to get to that plant to prune it? So close. So close. So meticulous. It's not haphazard. It's cuts that mean something. He's thought about it. He knows just exactly where to make that cut, like a skilled surgeon. So the gardener is never closer to his creation when he's pruning it. And I thought about this. Lord, sometimes when I don't see you, it's because you're so close to me. You're so close, I can't see you. He is in our process. And God is in the process of refining us. Not success. God loves it when you succeed, but he's in the refining business. So if you don't feel like that you're a success, you're right where you need to be because you are in the hands of the potter. He said, you're like clay. Come on, get up here on the wheel. And I know you get dizzy and I know you don't know which way is up, but let me work on you. He is in the refining business. He molds us and he shapes us. But our problem is that we want life to be easy and fair. Don't we? Easy and fair. But life sometimes is anything but easy and fair. And people who don't expect difficulties in life, young people, let me talk to you for a minute. If you expect no difficulties in life, you're going to be very unhappy. I'm just going to say that. Okay? I'm an upbeat person. I look on the bright side. But listen, sometimes it's just the miracle you're looking for is hard work. All right? Sometimes it's just like that. We idolize happiness, don't we? Instead of joy. But the vine is where the joy is. Not in anything that we can do. Jesus never said that we would not have difficulties. As a matter of fact, he said just the opposite. In chapter 16 of John, he said, as long as you are on this earth, you will have trouble. But cheer up. I have overcome the world. If this was the only hope in this world, we would be miserable. But that's not where our hope lies. So whatever is happening in your life at this moment, he has promised, I am going to be with you. I am going to help you. You're going to learn how to problem solve. You're going to learn how to be resilient because you need to be resilient to live this life. So he wants us to plant, and then we go through pruning, and this is so that we can produce. Not produce, the noun, but produce. I do want some produce from some of you. But produce. Now, it's interesting, this scripture here, because before this scripture, Jesus is speaking to a large crowd. Matter of fact, the crowd's so large that people are getting trampled. All right? And he's doing dual. He's speaking to the crowd. He's speaking to the disciples, back and forth. And in this parable, it seems like a weird place. But here in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 8, he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he took and went to look for fruit, but did not find any. So he said to the man, he being the vineyard owner, and he said to the man, the gardener, who took care of the vineyard, you know, for 3 years now, this tree has been in this garden, and I keep looking for fruit on it, and I don't find anything. So just get rid of it. Cut it down. Why should it use up this? Just taking up space. That seems very harsh, doesn't it? But then in verse 8, the gardener replies, leave it alone one more year. Give it one more year. Just give it a little bit more time. I believe in it. One more year. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Everybody knows what that means. to fertilize something doesn't smell very good. Not fun. He says, if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. So fruit and gifts are not the same. And fruit speaks of the root. Fruit and gifts are not the same, and fruit speaks of the root. So here in this parable, we see more common in imagery about vineyards. But I think it's interesting that this is a fig tree in a vineyard, which means it was planted intentionally. The owner took very careful care to plant this tree, and he had some really high expectations for this tree. But for 3 years, it's been nothing but a disappointment. So the owner says the tree is useless, but the gardener who's with it every single day says, just give it one more year. I see potential. I see what could be. So what does he do? He bends down and he stirs up the soil and he digs up the roots and he puts manure on it, basically, is what he does. Isn't that us sometimes? He brings suffering to us, and we think it's punishment, but he's actually trying to help us to be more fruitful and to produce. He digs a trench, and he puts fertilizer on it. He makes things uncomfortable sometimes, but we know that we would never, how many of you would ever change anything as long as it was so comfortable and everything was great? I've never made any change in my life when I was comfortable and everything was wonderful. It had to get uncomfortable. It had to get irritating. It had to get to a place where I had to make a change. And that is what is happening here to this fig tree. But he does it in love so that this tree is not destroyed and cut down. And that's us, so that we can live fruitful lives. We are encouraged and seen. And I love that the gardener sees the beauty and he sees the potential. He sees the beauty and the potential when everyone else doesn't. I wanted to tell you about a story that I came across, and you can put that picture up. This is Jenny and Lamar, and they're pen pals. Or they were pen pals. So in 1995, Lamar Johnson was sentenced to life in prison for murder. And in 1998, that was 1995, in 1998, Jenny attended a church and her pastor gave her Lamar's name. And he said, this is a letter from an inmate at this prison and he just wants someone to write back to him. He wants someone to care about him. He needs somebody to write letters with him. So they became pen pals. And he said, I just wanted somebody to write back to know that I wasn't alone. Now, over the next 25 years, Lamar and Jenny were pen pals. But Jenny said in an interview that she knew after just a few letters that Lamar could have never done what they said that he did. So over the next 25 years, they exchanged letters. Then in early 2023, this was very recent, Lamar was vindicated of the crime that he never committed. He never committed. The process of freeing Lamar took 4 years. But after being freed, you know who Lamar wanted to go see. And it was Jenny. And she had been a friend and a spiritual mother to him. He was so thankful to her. But I want to read his words. He says, when you have people who believe in you and they don't give up on you, it makes it much harder for you to give up on yourself. She gave him confidence in the darkest times. And he said without the excitement of her letters that he would not be here today. And Jenny said, I always wrote to him and said, Lamar, I'm here. I just want to keep you connected. There's probably people in your circle, people here who feel disconnected. But it's up to us to make them feel connected, to connect them to the vine. And I want to wrap it up with this. I thought about this story, and I thought about who Jenny was to Lamar. And how many of you have heard this terminology, standing in the gap? My grandmother stood in the gap for me. My friend stood in the gap for me. My dad stood in the gap for me. My mother stood in the gap for me. There is a gap. So I know that sometimes we feel very disappointed. Maybe you've come in here today and you're just disappointed in how things turned out. Well, let me tell you something. God understands that. Thank God he does. In Isaiah chapter 5, we can see that God had a vineyard. And it says he loved this vineyard. He planted it on a fertile hillside. So he thought about where he wanted to plant it. And he dug it up and he cleared away all the rocks and stones. And he even built a watchtower. And he cut out a wine press. And he was ready for a crop of good grapes. But instead, he got bad fruit, or some translations say wild grapes. So we can see that God himself was disappointed because there was a gap in what he expected and what he got. So you may be in here today and you may be in the gap of what you expected and what you got. I can hear his thought process, all this effort, all this care, all this hope, and just wild grapes now. You know, there would be places in our lives and times in our lives when we did our very best, and it still didn't turn out the way that we thought. Maybe your gap is somewhere in your thought process. Maybe your gap is that you always see God as this cosmic being that's ready just to strike down lightning on you the first mistake that you're made. Or he's got a list of naughty and nice and he's checking it twice. That's not God. That's not God. But God does have laws. And one is seed time and harvest. And we have to remember that. We have to stay in the vine because sometimes we're railing against seeds that we've planted. In every seed, there is a harvest. And God wants us to stand in the gap. God works in the gap. Thank God he works in the gap. He gets down. He digs in the dirt. But there's one thing that I thought about, and I read about this. I thought, wild grapes, what happens to bad fruit? It has a usefulness. It gets turned down back into the soil, and it gets used for the future. So I want to tell you something today. If you've come in here and you have just sown wild grapes, nothing has turned out the way you want it to, you need to give that to the Lord today because he can take it and use it for his kingdom, for his glory. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. I want you to stand with me. All the way back in Genesis chapter 2, you can see that God planted a garden, and it was the Garden of Eden. And when I went back to the scripture and I saw that that God made the ground to spring up, he didn't speak to it and just let it happen. Lord knows he could have contracted that out to one of the other angels or something. But it says that God caused it to spring up. So he is in the growing business. Out of the ground, the Lord made it spring up. And then I looked in Genesis 1:29 and it said God gave him, Adam, every herb bearing seed. The first gift was dominion and authority. He gave the man dominion and authority. The second gift was seed. So from the very beginning, God is providing. So I want to tell you this today. Before there was lack, there was seed. Before there were seasons and cycles, there was seed. Before there was a need, there was seed. Before there was hunger, there was food. Before we were lowly and didn't have anything, there was provision. Before shortage, there was sufficiency. So God has provided everything that you need today to be what God has called you to be. But first, you need to be in the vine today. I want you to close your eyes, everyone. And if there's one person here today that says, you know what, Sister Kelly, I am not a part of the vine. I disconnected a long time ago, or I've never been connected. I want you to be connected today to Jesus, because I want to tell you something. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. In Him, you can do all things through Christ, because He strengthens you. If that's you today, I want you to lift your hand. If you could say, Sister Kelly, I just need to come back to the vine today. I need to get reconnected. I want to pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come back to you today. We reconnect to the vine. God, apart from you, we can do nothing, but in you, everything matters today. Now I want to ask you this, for those of you who are in that gap and you say, you know what, I expected a lot of things that haven't happened and I'm really disappointed. God sees you. He knows all about it. But understand this, He can take all that disappointment and use it for His kingdom, for His glory. And if that's you today, this altar is open if you need some mamas to come and pray for you. But I would like for you to do this for me. I would like you to get with your families today. If you may be near your family, and I want you to, my grandmother used to say, when we crossed the street, she would say, catch hands, children. And that meant we're gonna get across the street safe because we're all together, amen? So take the hand of that one near you. And if you don't have family here today, go find one. We got some mamas and daddies in here that will love on you. Amen. That's right. Some of you get over here with some people. And I want to pray for you today. Father, we thank you, God, that you are the vine, Lord, and we are the branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing, but in you, we can have life and we can have it more abundantly. And God, I want to speak right now to those situations where people are disappointed. They've come in here today and Lord, they had expectations of what their life was going to be, and it's just not happened. But Lord, we stand in the gap for them today, and you're in the gap with us. Lord, your word says that you can do more than we can ask or even think, as long as we just give it to you, Lord. So God, today we give all of our disappointments to you. We give our successes to you. God, we realize that gifts don't matter. It's the fruit that matters. So God, I pray today that this church would come alive and on fire with the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, fruits of the Spirit like joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, goodness, all of those things, God. We realize that we just lay our gifts at your feet today, Lord, and we ask you, God, prune us so that we can be more fruitful, God. Let our fruit speak of the root, and that is you, Jesus. We are rooted and grounded in you today, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord praise today.
Well, I hope you were blessed and inspired somehow by today's message. Here at Summerton Church of God, we believe that God still does the miraculous. We are seeing people's lives changed and transformed, healed and delivered, all to the glory of this incredible God. We want you to experience that for yourself and for your family. Why don't you be our guest one Sunday right here at Summerton Church? I look forward to personally seeing you.